سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمین و به نستعین، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین، حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا، رحمت للعالمین، ابی القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد،
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على
محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
All praise and glory belong to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who has created everything to be good. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is khair, is good. Because He is the absolute good, so whatever He is going to create, it's also going to be the goodness of Him. What is bad depends when from goodness you remove the place of it, then it becomes bad. So everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in a particular position, a particular place, as long as you keep that in there, then everything is good. Anytime you remove that from that place, then it becomes bad. So as long as everything is in its place, its fairness, its justice, when you remove something from its place, it's bad, it's oppression, it's wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed every single thing where it's supposed to be. If one of the thing loses its place, the whole of the universe would collapse. Every single atom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is connected with the other atom in a way that if you were to remove that atom from its place, there would be a chain reaction where the whole universe would collapse. To give you the example, I don't know if you guys have played Jenga, you know that game?
Yeah,
I played it. You played it? Okay, good job. So what you do is you stack these things on top of each other. And as you're stacking these things on top of each other, everything is connected with each other. True? So you keep on moving and you can make this one huge tower, right? Depending on how many pieces you have. So you take this huge tower, and if you were to remove this one piece, if you were to remove this one piece, what happens to it?
It has a chance of falling.
It has a chance of falling, right? The more you move things, the bigger the chance. True? So just think about this whole universe as that. I mean, it's a massive thing, right? Just if you were to count the cells that I have inside of me, you would run out of numbers. There are billions of cells in my eye that are working together hand in hand so I can see. If one of those hands decide, if one of those cells decide, I'm not going to hold the hand of the other cell, I will not be able to see. I'll become blind. The reason you're able to see me is because those billions of cells that are connected with each other, they're helping each other. They're not saying, oh, I'm not going to take your hand. You know how you recite Dua Bahda, right? After namaz, you guys do that. You hold hands, right? What if one person in there decides, I'm not going to hold the hand of the other person? Then the whole point goes away of wahda, right? The whole point of oneness goes away, of unity goes away. So when you look at his universe and you start looking into his creations, you will see that every single thing that he has placed it in a way that the other thing is connected with the other, which produces the best of the systems that you and I are able to see. And if you were to remove one thing from it, then the whole system will collapse. It might take a trillion years, might take a trillion times 100, a trillion times 1,000,000. It might take all of those years. But in the end, the whole universe would collapse. Now, I'll give you another example. What if my nose was here? Right? That would be kind of... Right. Or my eyes were over here. Or my lips were over here. And my nose were over here. Right? So all of the things that even if you look at on my face, they have a place. And because they are in that place, when you look at it, you'll say there is symmetry. Right? And there is beauty. If there is no symmetry, then you do not have beauty. But in order for beauty to exist, there has to be another symmetry which is different than the other. What if all of the human beings look like me?
Just like an army of robots.
Army of robots, right. If everybody looked like me, there would be no concept of beauty. It's just everybody is the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom and His knowledge and power, created every single thing in its place but different. And with these differences, you find symmetry and beauty and justice in the whole universe. Right? And that can only be devised by someone like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who does not have a, you know, who didn't have a blueprint or a plan before. Right? Somebody, like you can make a building if you have a plan from before. If you look at the blueprints from before, you can make a building. He is the being who created everything, gave it a blueprint, gave it a system, gave it symmetry, gave it a position, made it different. All in a spur of... be and it became. Right? So all of this can only be by a kid. So all of this can only be by somebody as great as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a place for everything. Right? Everything is created in goodness. Everything is connected with each other. Everything that is created is different for beauty to exist and for the system to be managed. Clear so far? There were 6 points. Okay? Now we can go more in detail about these points, but just keep that in mind. Okay? The reason why I said this to you, when you start looking at the world, you'll say there is good and there is bad. There is khair and there is shar. Right? So there's earthquakes, right? There are floods, there is snow. You guys don't have those issues here. Right? Sometimes maybe. But there are parts of the world that, 11 inches, 12 inches. I was at a place, there was minus 47. Minus 47 is, I don't know what's in Fahrenheit. It doesn't matter. I think
it's cold.
To a certain point, Fahrenheit and Celsius becomes equal. It doesn't really matter. But when we look at all of these things in the universe, right now we're talking about, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that deal with the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That deals with the jurisprudence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just talking about simply just when you look at the creation. So a person would say hurricanes are bad, snow is bad, minus 47 is bad. True? I mean, there are people who look at it that way, right? There's a tsunami that comes, And in the tsunami, there is, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that end up dying, and they will look at that tsunami as something bad. Right? What happens inside of you when you get sick is that there is viruses and bacteria that are destroying your body. So your immune system comes and removes all of those viruses and bacteria. So when you look at that way, you'll say, well, this is not really nice. You know, it was a virus, it was a bacteria, you should have let it live and so forth. But in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that we can see that we think are relatively bad are only relatively bad because we do not understand them. Because if it is not minus 47 in the place where I was, then the whole system of this universe, what happens to it? Collapse. If the tsunami was not there, then the whole system of the universe collapses. If the earthquake is not there, the whole system of the universe collapses. Right? If the snow doesn't come, you know, the amount of water that is required by this earth is the same water that has been existing since the earth was created. Did you know that? Our solar system is the youngest solar system in this whole universe. Our planet is the youngest planet. It's only 4 billion years old. It's like a little baby. It's 4 billion years old, and the water that exists on this earth 4 billion years ago is the same water being recycled. None of it has gone out and none of it has come in. You know, the water that you drink is the same water that the dinosaurs drank. It's the same water. All it does is that it goes through the water cycle. It just keeps on getting recycled and filtered and comes back. Some place it comes back in snow, some place it comes back in rain, some place it evaporates and it's steam. Some other places, if Houston was not this hot, we would probably not get water going up in the sky. So because of the heat and humidity goes up in the sky, it makes the clouds, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves those clouds into a place where rain is required. Right? So same cycle of water exists since the planet was created. Right? We're not looking at the water cycle on the basis of the whole earth. We're just looking at depending on where you are. So when you see the flood come in Houston, you'll say, oh my God, you know, Houston hi bacha tha, masalan meri gaadi bachi thi. Was it only my car that would, you know, why did it have to happen? But if you were to take a bird's eye view, that flood was actually a blessing. It was a blessing for so many creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I share this planet. We think of ourselves as to be the only person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created trillions. You know that 82% of the life on this earth are insects. Insects. 82% of the whole life on this planet is insects. So how much is remaining from 100%? 28%. No.
Not 28.
Sorry, what is it then? 18%.
8 plus 2.
Right.
Not another 10. Yeah. Plus 10, 90.
Right. Good job, thank you. If you can recite a loud salawat for my
brother.
So 18% of the rest of the life happens to be trees, it happens to be animals, it happens to be you and I. Do you think it would be fair that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to manage the whole weather, the whole water cycle, for just you?
No. All the other creations would die.
All the other creations would die? Eventually you would die too. Because you depend on them and because you are connected with them. None of us are separate from each other. Every single individual, every single life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is connected with each other. And He's maintaining this whole planet in a way that everybody has the opportunity to be able to, you and I, decide where we're going to spend the rest of our eternity. If the earth collapses, then who's going to be able to pray namaz? Who's going to be able to fast? Who's going to be able to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to determine their hereafter, where they're going to be? How are you and I going to find out who we are? Right? So when you look, if you look at the whole universe, if you look at just the planet in itself, let's not go very far, but just look at the whole planet in itself, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is khair, is good, is connected, it's there as the best of the systems, and the bad that there is by the hands of people. The individuals who are cutting down the rainforest, and you know, people end up saying that, you know, Islam doesn't give rights to women, right? That Islam is a religion that doesn't give rights to women. If you were to look in Islam and look at the rights of just the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that happens to be a tree, you would be surprised. When you would look at the rights of a tree, you would be surprised. You would say that if Islam can give rights to a tree to that extent, why would it not give rights to the women that are part of that building block that Islam stays on? It's just our own misconceptions, our own not understanding it. Just so the individuals who are breaking down the rainforest, you know what they are cutting down? Trees, which affects the water cycle, which affects so many other things, which creates drought in some other place, which we are going to run out of oxygen eventually. And then when you see the people starving, and you see the people not having enough food, you're going to say, well, look, God doesn't care about them. But did you figure out why are they starving, why they are in drought, why there is not enough sustenance for them? It's because man has utilized those means that were supposed to be based on fairness and taking him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his own selfish, self-vested interest. Since we're talking about a tree, the sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, a person came up to him and said that, Imam, how am I supposed to figure out what a mu'min is? With me? How am I supposed to figure out what a mu'min is? And Imam said, it's very easy. A mu'min is someone, when he calls upon the tree to come over, the tree walks over to that person. What is that tree? The tree that you cut down and make pencils and paper and build your houses, right? That tree, what is the sign of a mu'min? That if a mu'min was to call upon the tree would walk up to that person. So you would find out that this is a mu'min. As Imam was saying that, there was a tree that walked over to the Imam. And Imam said to the tree, he said, you can go back to your place, I didn't call you. You can go back to your place, I did not call you. I was trying to explain this individual about what is the sign of a mu'min. And the tree goes back. You and I cannot figure out if you're a mu'min or I'm a mu'min. Right? You and I cannot figure out whether you're a mu'min or I'm a mu'min. The tree that we cut down without even thinking twice has the capacity, the ability to find out if you're a mu'min or not. And if you really think you're that big of a mu'min, go to the tree outside and call it. In our arrogance, in our audacity, we have made ourselves to be the center of this universe. You and I are not the center of this universe. If there is a center on this universe, it is the hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's the Imam of the time. We are not the center of this universe. We've made ourselves to be. If I happen to be as strong as an ant, I could lift up your car like this. Yes. Just like that. An ant is able to lift 10 to 50 times its weight. Yes. If you happen to be 150 pounds and you were as strong as the ant, how many pounds can you lift? 1,800. No, let's say 10 times. So 1,000. 180 pounds. Times 10. 1,800. How much do you think your car weighs?
A billion.
Around that? You could lift it up like this. It just not only lifts it up like this, it walks for miles. It just doesn't lift it and then that's it, puts it down. No, it walks for miles. Takes it into its home, into its city where it's supposed to be. Doesn't ever complain. Why did I have to lift so much weight? Just for that food that was miles away, why did I have to carry it? Our elders, our brothers, they go to work, they come back after 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. Oof, so tired. So tired. If the insects were to start complaining like you and I do, this whole system would collapse. The ant would call into the boss, I'm sorry, I cannot make it to work. I'm not feeling very good. What are we? I'm not even as strong as an ant that I put my foot on it and, you know, kill it without even thinking. Without even thinking. Right? So we are not actually the center of the universe. If you were to take a look at the animal kingdom, human beings happen to be the weakest of all animals. Have you ever seen any animal wearing glasses? Their eyesight is such, like if you were just, you know. And I was, right. They don't even need like light. They have night vision. And if there is no even that much light, they can have the senses where they can have an image of your electrical impulses. And radar is another technology that we learn from the bats. And we're learning so much from the animals that all of the technologies that you see, we learn how to fly from the birds. We couldn't figure it out ourselves. We had to look at the birds, oh, they fly this way, this is their angle, this is how the wind goes and breaks it and so forth. Let's make something. The people who study the social sciences, they said that if human beings were to live like ants, there would be no injustice in this world. Everybody would have fairness and everybody would live in harmony. So in the animal kingdom, we happen to be one of the weakest carbon-based machines. And I can go on and on this, but I would suggest to my sisters and I would suggest to my brothers, study the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will use that means to get close to Him. The more you study chemistry in the context of that these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you study physics, that these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's not, what is the law in physics that you guys say? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. What is that? Whose law is that? Third law of motion? Who's Newton's law. It's not Newton's law. It's not Newton's law. It's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Newton just copied, you know.
Discovered
it. Right? It was already there. The law of gravity, the law of motion, the law of... Yeah, everything is already there. We are just discovering it. And all of the sciences in physics, chemistry, everything that you have, these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to humanity. I don't know if I've explained that to you, but all of this knowledge that you have that makes the iPhone and the Samsung and all this other stuff and all the technology around you, that today people are saying that Islam is against technology. How can Islam be against technology when Islam understands that all the technology that all of human beings have is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The God that they submit to on daily basis is the one who has given the knowledge of all so that today humanity can utilize the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and the one that you are the creation of is to utilize that knowledge to make a computer. Islam would be the one telling you, okay, go and be more advanced in technology. Utilize more means. Study more about atom. But do not utilize that knowledge to make an atomic bomb.
Subhanallah.
Islam is against making an atomic bomb. Islam is not against studying the concept of matter. The concept of an atom. Islam says, look into it. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you study atom, you'll get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you study the water cycle, you'll get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you study my creation, you will realize how great I am. Islam, the knowledge that you have, just because we are at this point, let's give you another thing. The knowledge that we have, all of it, all of the different sciences that you have, the books that were written in which the universities utilized them, they were all written by Muslims. And we're not saying that we want to take the credit. Listen to me and then you'll see the credit is not ours.
What about the numbers thing?
Even the math and algebra and everything else. Even that too. So all of these sciences that today by which they utilize and make all of this stuff, the authors were Muslims. Now these Muslims authors learn from another teacher, another teacher, another teacher, which goes back to the sixth Imam, yes. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu
wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we know that the sixth Imam did not have a teacher. Yeah? True? That the sixth Imam did not have a teacher. He was transferred this information from the heart of his father. And his father also did not have a teacher. That information was transferred in the heart of the father of the sixth Imam from the father of the fifth Imam. And that goes back to the Holy Prophet. Did the Holy Prophet have a teacher? He didn't have a teacher. Where did they get that information? He was given that information by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of revelation. The revelation that we happen to have is the Quran, but the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Holy Prophet is a lot wider than the Quran. And that information was transferred into the hearts of Imam Masumi. Imam Ali alayhi salam was walking and he looked at the... Please.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal al-faraj.
He was looking at the running water and he was going with his companion. He looks at the running water. He says, if humanity had the capacity, I would tell you how to take light from this running water. But humanity didn't have the capacity at that time for this knowledge. If we had a power plant 1400 years ago as human beings, do you think anybody would have no light today? Do you think that we would still be talking about coal fusion and alternative resources for energy? In 1400, all these sciences, all of this, like, you know, they're about 200-300 years go back. 1400 years ago, if we had a power plant by which we could take out light from this running water, we would have been much, much further away. All of this knowledge of sciences is only two parts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the masoom. There is 25 parts that we're going to be given when the imam of the time comes. Because these two parts that have been given to us, we've utilized to destroy our humanity. We have utilized this knowledge to bring us down in our humanity, although we have climbed the towers to go all the way up to Mars, but when it comes to humanity, we have lost it even to the lowest of low. In humanity, we have lost. Islam says that you have to protect your humanity. You go as advanced in resources as you want, but none of these resources should become means for humanity to go down. If you've reached Mars, but in humanity you are no better than an animal, what have you achieved? If you reach Mars, but in humanity you cannot, two people cannot live with each other, what have you achieved? If you reach Mars, but in humanity you have sunk to the point where it is okay for you to see a billion people in poverty and you do nothing, where is your humanity? That you're able to accumulate 3.5 billion people's wealth, 80 people, while the others suffer. And you've gone to Mars. Where have you reached? Well, you take up the resources of 70% of the world's resources and utilize for 25%. Where is the fairness? Islam is not against any of the technological advancements. Islam does not condone any technological advancement. Islam says you should go more into it. Go into nanotechnology, you will figure out what is the greatness of the creator that created this. Go more into the study of the atom, you will find out that this is not the smallest particle. You have quark, and after that you have even smaller than that. Go as much as you want. Because all of that would be a proof against you. So you will say all this system just came out of nothing. Go. Look. Siru fil ardh, go. Take a look at my creation. I am the one who can teach the formula how to take pollen and convert into this medicine, this food that is the best for you. Where did the bee learn? Did the bee go to a college, university? I want to find out how to make honey from, you know, I want to know how to make honey from pollen. Did you see the bees going into, I know they're spelling bees, but do you see any of the bees going into university college? No. This bee, Allah SWT says, I've revealed to this insect how to take pollen and convert pollen, which is something else, and honey, which is something else, into that medicine which is the best, which has the shifa for all of your diseases. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the formula how to convert pollen into honey to a bee, He cannot give to the best of His creation? You cannot give the knowledge of His rules and His regulations about how the universe works to the best of His creation, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal
fardah. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is means to another means, to another means, and all of that is connected and everything is in its place. If you remove one thing, then the system collapses, right? And we ourselves are put into this earth so that we can go through these tests and can find out what our potential is. So let's see if we can bring this sort of idea a little bit further, and maybe in the next couple of days or so we'll move forward on that, okay? Okay, so I said to you that we as human beings are the weakest animals on the face of this planet. You can challenge me, it's okay. Let's say somebody comes up and says, no, what you have said is wrong, we're not the weakest animals, but there are other animals that are weaker. Right? If you're that strong, why is it that a virus that you can't even see? Why is it that a virus that you cannot even see, that you have to utilize a microscope to see it, but when it comes into your body, no matter how strong you are, no matter if you are Rabbakumul A'la, you are the Lord of the Lords, you've classified yourself to be, the virus comes and you can't do anything. What's happening with you? Oh, I don't know. My nose is stopped. Can't stop running. My eyes are watery. My body hurts. And I cannot do anything. Just on your bed. We are the weakest. But we have something which is the strongest entity in this universe. So we have this weakness, and then we have that strength which is the strongest entity in this universe in creation. That is?
Willpower.
Willpower is part of it. That is?
Intellect
is part of it. That is? Which is part of it? That is?
Being able to get close to Allah.
Being able to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's part of it. What is the strongest entity that you and I have in this whole universe in creation is the strongest entity?
The brain.
Brain is part of it?
Iman.
Iman is part of it? You see, I told you before, when I ask you the question, remember what I said to you before. You are not just this body, right?
Your soul.
You're going to recite it loud, salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Your soul is the strongest entity in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have the body, carbon-based machine, which is the weakest in His creation. Automatically, by knowing just this much, you would know that there has to be something going to go wrong. Here you have this, which is the weakest. And then you have this, which is the strongest in this universe. Something's going to go wrong. And that's what the angel saw. So this person's going to create bloodshed. This person that you are putting as your representative, you have given it the soul, which is the mightiest of all, and the body, which is the weakest of all. Out of these two extremes, something's going to go wrong. Something did. You see that all over the place. Let's see if we can come up with a little bit of understanding of this concept. So, he said that I put my soul into this body. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I put my soul, if there were no other souls, there was no need to say my soul. True? Yes or no?
Yes.
So there were other souls, but these souls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, these souls are there, they're good. But I will put my soul. The strongest entity in this universe. So that means what? In creation, everything as matter is connected with non-matter. See? If it becomes too sci-fi, just let me know. Okay? There's no problem. We have the masjid is now going to finish for another 40 minutes, so I have you for that time. Because I babysit you guys. So. Is this alive?
No. Yes.
It's alive. Thank you. According to your definition, this thing might not be alive. But according to the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's alive. He says, يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever, when he says samawati wal ard, when he talks about samawati wal ard, it means the whole of creation. So if any of the creation would happen to have a limit, by point of reference happens to be up, or by point of reference happens to be down. If you were to have the whole universe, in its entirety, that would be samawati wal ard. So he said that whatever I've created is doing my tasbih. Something which is dead, can it do glorification?
No.
It cannot do glorification, right? Something has to be alive to be able to glorify. And not just be alive, should know the glory of the one being glorified.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
The glory of the one being glorified. If the stone is alive and is doing the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are you going to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know the verses of the Quran, they say that every single bird knows its prayer. Salah, loves. Prayer is there. The same salah that you and I. The word salah is used. They bring namaz. Whatever is in the creation is alive and it is doing my tasbih. In order to do tasbih, you need to be alive. You need to have knowledge. You need to have ikhtiyar. With me? You need to have power of choice. If you do not have power of choice, it cannot be called glorification. You have to choose to glorify the one that you are glorifying. If you're forced to glorify someone, it's not glory. It's because of your force they're glorifying. If you say to somebody, okay, I'm going to take all of your money if you don't say I'm the best person on this earth. Okay, you're the best person on this earth. Hey, especially that sometimes our sisters, they will say, you know, tell me that I'm the best wife on this earth, otherwise no food. Well, okay, you're the best wife on this earth. That's not glory. When you're fishing for compliments and compliments are given, it's not a compliment. Compliment is only a compliment when it comes from the heart, from the knowledge, from the knowing the greatness of that individual that you compliment.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
And that doesn't mean the brothers don't compliment. You have to compliment because there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you in that wife of yours that if you were to look at from a bird's eye view of this earth, you would find yourself to be a lucky person. Right? So come back. So this stone is alive. This stone has knowledge. This stone has power of choice. Does it have intellect? Does it have intellect? Does it have intellect? It does. If it did not have intellect, could it comprehend the glory of Allah? You're looking at me now, the whole perception is changed. Did I not say that a tree can, the sixth Imam said, the tree can identify between a mu'min or not? Ya zamine ahu, we say, zamine ahu, we say for Imam Radha alayhi salatu wasalam. If that deer did not have the intellect to identify the Imam of the time, do you think would come? The people who were next to him, they could not identify. The animals did. When you go for knowledge, the fish in the sea, they do prayer for you. They ask for forgiveness for you. When you go for knowledge, as soon as you got out of your home, if you were to here to gain knowledge, the seas, the fish in Galveston or in the other water bodies, they start praying for you. Oh Allah, make this person to reach the place of majlis in safety. Oh Allah, when this person reaches the majlis, let him know the knowledge of yours, so that the sacrifice that I make, so that he can utilize my protein, my body, to sustain his, that he reaches you. So that my sacrifice is not in vain. And if he has sins that are going to not allow him to be able to learn this knowledge of yours, forgive them. Because they will become barriers in front of that knowledge. Because if that knowledge doesn't reach his soul, then all of my sacrifices for my brothers and sisters, they will be in vain. Doesn't have intellect? They're trying to figure out right now that even plants have feelings. Fish have feelings. Just now. Most recent research, I'm telling you, that they have found that fish have feelings. What are feelings? Love, hate. I am somebody, I'm not anybody. Feelings, just bath. Fish. we have 1400 years ago, the tradition that the fish are praying for you. They have feelings. But we couldn't understand it. It's like, yeah, the Holy Prophet said, after 1400 years, they're figuring out the fish has feelings. You know the most intelligent that utilizes the most of the amount of brain power is a dolphin. If the dolphins could come on this earth and they could walk among us, they would rule over us. So they don't have intellect? They have intellect.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
With me? Okay. So, everything is alive. Everything? Everything is alive. Everything has intellect. Everything is has a power of choice. Is able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in prayer, is in tasbih or is in prayer. Right? With me? Okay, so isn't that you supposed to be? Wasn't that I was supposed to be that? That I'm alive, have choice, intellect, emotions, the ability to glorify? Wasn't I supposed to be the only one? What is going on? How come everything is like this? Everything has that soul. Everything has that soul, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided among all of the souls of the planet, of the skies, of the earth, of the stones, of the trees, of the fish, of every single thing that He has created, He said, I'm going to put inside of you my soul. The most powerful of all. Meaning what? That you have the potential to be the most alive. Most alive means what? This, you started a long time ago. This is just another phase of your life. Another phase will be in Qabr. Another phase will be Barzakh. Another phase will be the Day of Judgment. Another phase will be Pul-e-Sirat. And another phase will be Heaven. Where you're going to live for? Ever. Are the trees going? Are the birds going? Some of the animals, and you know, in traditions, other, do not talk about exceptions. You have the choice. You have the highest choice. The highest degree of choice is yours. The tree does not have a choice that if it wants to become a fish, they could become a fish. Fish is a fish, a tree is a tree. Well, you and I have a choice. You can become like a snake. You can become like a stone. You can become as strong and firm in your roots as a tree. You can become as strong in your fortitude and your willpower as Mount Everest. You have the ability to give light and heat and the source of energy and life like the sun. You can take all of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect it like the moon. You can gain that knowledge which is like water that is the life source for yourself and others. You can be like as flat and accommodating and comfortable like the earth. You can have that speed of thought like the lightning. With me? You have the choice to become anything you want. Some people are like cows. Some people are like snakes. Some people are like pigeons. And if I continue more, some of you are going to come and ask, were you looking at me as like you? Arabachat could see. He could see that, okay, I'm talking to this person, he's like this. So you're alive. You have the highest level of choice. You have the highest level of intellect. You have the highest level of emotions. You have the highest level of all of that. But all of this is in potential. All of this is given to you as potential. And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, this is just the last two sentences to connect the dots. And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you is means. These means, they produce the tests where you have to decide between right and wrong. And once you utilize that test and you do the right things, this potential becomes into action. You would not know if you are patient or not. You would not know if you're patient or not unless somebody swears at you. You would not know if you're patient or not unless somebody hits you. You would not know if you're patient or not unless you lose your wealth. You would not know if you're patient or not unless you lose your health. Unless these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create as tests do not come in front of us, we will not know who we are and our potential will not come up. So in reality, all that you see is good. If shaitan was not there, you would not know whether you can obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. If shaitan does not give you the waswasa and you're not fighting it, how would you know that you are strong? And when you do what shaitan is saying, then you figure out that you are weak. These tests were given to the best of his creations, the hardest tests. When we say karbobala, is the test of pain and hardship. In the test of pain and hardship, look at the status of Imam Hussain. If you were to take any father in this whole universe, and if you had, that father had a son like Hazrat Ali Akbar. Hazrat Ali Akbar resembled the most of the Holy Prophet. He looked the most like the Holy Prophet. In character, he was the most like the Holy Prophet. You have somebody like him, and you give him in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as means for you to get closer to Allah. You take a mother and look at the mothers of Karbala. You tell me a mother in history that when she found out the news of her two sons being martyred, Honor Muhammad, that this mother went in sijda, she prostrated, and she thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accepting her sacrifice. Find me a mother who had a 6 months baby, who did not have water for 3 days, who did not have anything for 3 days. The beauty of mothers is that, you know, when the child is in pain, the heart of the mother is in more pain. When the child cries, the mother tries her very best to do something for him or her. If the child falls, it is as if the mother has fallen. If the child is thirsty, it is as if the mother is thirsty. Can you imagine a mother whose child was thirsty for 3 days and Hazrat Ali Asghar used to cry and the mother can't do anything? There's nothing to give to him. But this mother, did she ever complain to the father of Ali Asghar? Did she ever say, look at the state of our son, let's go home? Why are we here? Look at our son. His eyes have gone inside his face. His body is pale. He's dehydrated. He's going to die. Did the sister say? The Bibi Sakina said to Imam Hussain, she didn't. These individuals in Karbala showed all of humanity What is their greatness? The greatness of these individuals is unmatched. This little daughter of Imam Hussein, whose days are, you know, when these individuals wanted to find out if Imam Hussein is alive or not. When Imam Hussein was lying on the battlefield of Karbala and he had arrows all over his body, when they wanted to find out whether he's alive or not, they said, take the horses towards the camp. Take the horses towards the camp. If Hussein is alive, you will see movement in his body. Imam Hussein's concern was for the daughters of the Prophet. And from his last breath, from his last strength, he wanted to do something to protect these. And what happened when he was martyred? They took those horses towards the camp. They were little children, the orphans of the household of the Prophet. They were trampled by the horses. The horses, they would come and the children would get left, right. And they could, wherever they could move, they would try to move, and these people would not stop. And Shimmer comes to this little girl. Bibi Sakina, he comes up to her. He grabs her earring. He pulled them. Bibi Sakina's ear was ruptured. The blood started to come out. Then he goes to the other ear. He grabs the earring, he snatches it. And Bibi Sakina was crying. He hit Bibi Sakina on his on her face. He hits Bibi Sakina on her face so hard that Bibi Sakina says that I passed out. She says, I passed out. And when I opened my eyes, I saw Bibi Zainab trying to wake me. And I wanted to tell her what happened to me. I wanted to tell her that Shimmer hit me on my face, that my face is burning, that my face is in pain, that he took my earrings, that my ears are bleeding. I wanted to tell her, but when I looked at the face of Bibi Zainab and she did not have a chadar on her face, she didn't have a chadar on her head, she didn't have a veil on her head, I forgot my pain. I forgot my pain. I got up and I didn't know what to do, and somebody comes, and while they were burning the tents, my dress caught on fire. I started to run so that this fire would go away, and I saw this one man coming after me. And I told him, please don't hit me, don't hit me. And this man said, I'm not there to hit you, I just want to get rid of this fire on your dress. Bibi Sakina asked this man, she said, can you tell me the direction towards Medina, towards Najaf? Can you tell me the direction of Medina? I want to go home. As she's wandering in the desert, it's all dark. She hears a voice, familiar, familiar voice. Sakina, come over here. There is no light, there's bodies everywhere. These bodies have been trampled by horses. These bodies do not have heads. Okay. Sakina, trembling. Moving from here to there, gets to the body that she heard the voice. She lies down on the chest of this body. These are the memories of a 3-year-old child. These are the emotions of a 3-year-old child. How would you feel if it was your daughter? This is the daughter of the best of creation. She's lying in that prison and she sees her father. She sees her father. After a long time, she sees him. And her father says, "My daughter, soon we're going to meet." When she gets up, she's so happy. Can you imagine how happy Bibi Sakina would be? Who's going to meet her father? And a tray was brought for her that had the severed head of her father. With all of the emotions and all of the memory, this emotion, this scenario was going to be that scenario that was going to stop the heart of Bibi Sakina. She survived Karbala, she survived Kufa, she survived walking barefooted in the marketplaces of Kufa, in the marketplaces of Sham. She survived all of that. But this was going to be the one that would stop the heart of Bibi Sakina. Bibi Sakina holds the head of Imam Hussein, brings it close to her face. That little heart beating in her chest moved so fast, that she went to meet her father. Oh my Lord, make these tears become a source, means for the forgiveness of our sins. After hearing the Messiah of Bibi Sakina, Bibi Zainab, how can I ask you of anything? How can I ask? Who am I to ask? What am I supposed to say to Bibi Sakina? That become means for this and that, how can I? If it was not that you had mentioned that these tears were going to wash away our sins, I would not ask. Give us the opportunity to become the friends and the followers of the Imam of the time, so that when he comes, justice and peace can rule the world.
Mama.
Hussain, Janam Hussain, Janam Hussain, Janam Hussain, Janam Hussain, Janam Hussain, Janam
Salam-e Babera, Matbab Janam Salam-e Babera, Matbab Janam Salam-e Rahbare, Wala Hussain
Hussain Janam Hussain Janam Hussain Janam Hussain Janam Hussain Janam Hussain Janam
Hamishe Balabam Name To Bashar Hamishe Balabam Name To Bashar Hami Guyam Ke قامت را از دلو جان می‌پذیرم قامت را از دلو جان می‌پذیرم کنم برپا ازا یاد را حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین Janam Hussain Janam Hussain Janam Hussain